The following podcast has been produced by WIRX Radio for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast do not constitute medical, legal, or professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this company, our promotional sponsors, or advertisers.
Rock 107 WIRX, Brock Hunter.
What's up, man?
Getting his sombrero hooked up. Did that work?
Hey, it worked, partner.
Hey, there you go.
That sombrero, it's so helpful, isn't it? Welcome to a brand new edition of the WIRX podcast. We haven't done one in a while, but it's good to be back, and we still got a lot of things to talk about. So just like where we left off the last time, let's get right to it. The man with the plan, Rick, how you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man.
Good. How are you?
I haven't seen you in so long.
It feels like forever.
It feels like forever.
Yeah.
I miss you. I miss you so much. I still get to chat with him on Facebook every
day. Yeah, we talk to you a little bit.
Rick, I know we got a lot to get to because it's October. It's finally here, and very, very soon we're going to be having a festival, and we'll kind of maybe wrap up with that, give everyone the final details. But what is that, 3 weeks away?
Two
weeks away.
Yeah.
The big festival that we got coming up. So we're going to tell everyone about that in just a little bit, where you can find out more. And of course, I'll have it all linked up. But we also have some special guests, which you always like to bring, because with what we've been trying to do with this podcast is just educate people, grow with this ever expanding industry here.
Spread the information.
That's right. Spread the seeds of knowledge, if you will.
Yeah, and let it grow. There you go.
You always had that one Betty in high school that ate the seeds. I said, what are you doing? Why are you eating the seeds? Was that you? Marjorie, was that you? No, I'll take the seeds,
I just did it last night. I accidentally burned a few, and I was like, toasty. Tastes like popcorn.
It's like roasting chickpeas. It's fantastic. Well, very good. Well, let's get right to it. We have another Rick in here. Rick from Grow Pros. Real quick, Rick, tell everyone what Grow Pros is and what you do. Just a little background on that.
Well, thanks. Grow Pros is a home grow consultant for Horizon Hydroponics and Growers Outlet. We can go to people's homes and help them out with whatever their growing needs are, and also their extraction needs now is a real popular thing that we're getting into.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And you've been fighting the good fight for quite some time, haven't you, Rick?
Yeah, boy, yeah, I have been for a long time. Actually, I have a word for you, too, when you're ready for it. It's Dankster.
The OG, no, it'd be the OD, the original Dankster, right?
Actually, what it is a new word that just came out. It's called Danky.
Yeah.
Danky is what the cartridges are that are killing people.
Oh.
So a Dankster is a person who makes the cartridge that can kill somebody.
Oh, so it's not a good thing.
It's a bad
thing.
We're adding that to our glossary in our book, actually. That's two more words that are going into our glossary.
So now that's right there. You let us in perfectly. And actually, Marjorie, let's meet you real quick. Why don't you tell everyone a little background on you and what you do exactly?
Well, I do a lot of things, but for our purposes here, I'm an independent journalist. I'm Leafly's only dedicated Michigan correspondent, and I do some other local journalism through some other local outlets. But for the last 2 years, I've been focusing a lot on cannabis journalism.
Okay. What got you interested in that?
Cannabis?
I love it.
I have been a medical card holder. A dear friend and mentor of mine who was also kind of pioneering into the cannabis space and communications, she happened to know the editor at Leafly, who happened to be looking for a good Michigan writer, and it was Kismet.
There you go. Perfect. I love it. Well, thank you for coming in.
Yeah,
and Sam, obviously, we all know you. We've been fortunate enough to have you in. We spent a lot of time with you this summer at the Green Door. Just tell everyone again what you do and a little bit about the Green Door, where you work.
Well, yes, I'm the marketing and communications director for the Green Door.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Bangor, Michigan, Bangor's original provisioning center. I run the Facebook page and work with advertisements in the state of Michigan for our store.
Like us.
Yes.
That's right. I always love doing remotes at the Green Door because, one, you know you're close because you can smell it. And then every time the door opened, you're like, oh, my God, what was that?
Give me some of that.
One day someone came up, did a skunk get hit? I said, no, it's a Green Door. Yeah. Something good in there is brewing.
But better.
We got you guys in today, and Rick brought you in today because you're actually working on something together. The three of you have come together, and who wants to take the lead on it? You mentioned it, Rick, the I don't want to say pamphlet. It's a book that you working on together.
Right. The way it's kind of all started out was like you said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been going around to all the political events, town hall meetings, and listen to all those type events to see, you know, how things are going to be opt-in or opting out as far as the businesses are going. And what you would hear at every one of these meetings is there'd be three to five people that stand up and say, hey, cannabis has saved my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they tell a story, and it was just amazing. So I started saying to myself, you know, based upon all the things that I know from being a caregiver for Roy a long time and my patient's successes.
Yeah.
And I said, man, you know what? I got to start writing this stuff down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's how it all started.
Okay. And so now, Marjorie, you're coming in. How did you get met up? You guys said it was kind of interesting how it worked out.
Well, it's funny actually how it really started. The first time is I actually went to the Green Door and I was talking to Mark Smith.
Yep.
Samantha's dad, and I'd mentioned it was I had a pet project going on. He mentioned that Samantha had gone into school for writing and journalism and so forth, and so her and I got to talking, and that's what really started the whole thing. Was wow, this is a perfect fit for me. She's exactly the type of story that I want to tell.
Yeah,
and she's going to help me tell it.
Perfect.
So that's kind of how it first started. Then Marjorie came along a little bit later.
So you got hooked up. It was kind of the long way around for you guys meeting and to get this book put together.
Yeah. So Rick and I actually, it's funny because neither of us go to very many networking events at all. We're actually both rather bad at networking, but we both happened to be at the same networking event in Grand Rapids. And we got kind of introduced by a mutual acquaintance. And once I start telling Rick who I am, he says, wait a second, you're that aggressive Kendall girl. And I was like, that is an accurate description of me, but how do you know that? So, he had been stalking me on Leafly, turns out. So.
That aggressive Kendall girl, and it was
perfect. Yeah. You know, we've been writing these stories for a long time, and it's been taking a long time. So I was reading some stories in Leafly, and there was like 12 of the 14 stories were all from Marjorie Steele.
Yeah.
And they were some really great stories, and one of them was a story about cancer. That's mm-hmm. I need to add that to my book.
Yeah.
So the next, 2 days later, I'm at a meet and greet, sitting there at the bar, because I don't really feel like talking to anybody. I'm going to have a beer.
And
guess who's sitting next to me?
Aggressive
Marjorie
Kendall.
Steele. It was crazy.
Nice.
Aggressive Kendall girl. I'll take that. I can be a lot worse.
Wait a second. That's meant to be right there. Yeah. That's meant to be.
That was. That was wild.
All right. So now we kind of got a brief description of the book. What exactly is the main goal of this book? And I don't want to just have you focus on one, but if someone were to say, okay, give me the Reader's Digest version of this book that you guys are putting together, what are you trying to accomplish with this book?
We're trying to raise awareness of what cannabis can really do for people of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what ailment you may have, we want to have a story that shows that cannabis can help heal people.
So this isn't just
book.
We feel or we've done that. It's actual real people telling stories. Their real
yes.
stories.
Yes. Okay. And there's also going to be a glossary with terms in there that have to do with the marijuana industry that Marjorie created for us.
Well, very nice.
This has been about a year and a half project that Rick and I have been working on. And I was so happy when Marjorie came on because we had a difficult time hanging on to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody would come in and be like, oh, yeah, I want to do this. And then be like, okay, we'll give you some stories. And then it just wouldn't pan out.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do anything. So we really needed to find someone that was dedicated to working on this.
Yeah.
And luckily we found that in Marjorie.
With the reporting you've done, Marjorie, and how long have you been kind of covering the cannabis? And has it been just cannabis industry as a whole, or has it been on the more medical side?
It's been cannabis in general for about the last 2 years.
Okay.
And I've done some business and politics and just kind of the industry in general. But I've always been, as a medical patient myself,
mm-hmm.
And as someone who's made, you know, topicals for medicinal purposes for my family, you know, the medical angle has always been very interesting to me. You know, my family's had a lot of history with cancer, as so many other people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't really think of anyone who hasn't been touched by cannabis or its potential in some way or another.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Sam mentions, that the primary goal of this project is one of the big problems that we're seeing in cannabis and in the medical community right now is that because of the prohibition, there has been no medical research
mm-hmm.
to back up and to verify, like Rick said, so many of the anecdotes. It's like we have this tidal wave of stories and anecdotes that prove the medical potential, but there's been such little research. So, you know, one of our big goals with this project is to put the stories out there that are verified, that are authoritative, you know, that have that journalistic integrity to prompt the research.
I think it really hit on something there because I've talked to so many people and even going to the Green Door and coming in and seeing the products that you have, which, by the way, if you ever get a chance, if you do have a medical card or you're even curious about the whole setup, call the Green Door. The staff there is unbelievably knowledgeable. It's insane. But it's almost like, yeah, like we know it works, but since because people don't see either an FDA stamp or something from the government, well, no, it's just someone who likes pot that's saying that they need it for this, which I think you guys are trying to dispel with actual viable stories that have the info to back it up.
Exactly. Sam and I are both bobbleheading over here.
I nailed it. Yeah,
like that. Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the other things that we're working on with this book, and as Sam mentioned, you know, a lot of really fascinating professionals, including some medical professionals. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite is, well, I shouldn't say favorite, one of my medical favorites is Kathleen Graham, who's been a hospice nurse here in Michigan for a long time. And, you know, one of the things that she made a real point in her interview with me was, cannabis isn't a magical cure, mm-hmm. right? Like, if we come in and approach this as, you know, as a lot of even well-meaning advocates have been doing, saying it's a cure-all, it's magic, right. Just use it for anything. There's no negative side effects. She's like, no, we need to study what the drug-to-drug interactions mm-hmm. are. If we come in saying that this is a miracle cure, nobody will take us seriously. So we really need to look at this like a medical product.
Yeah. You brought up, you know, the prohibition, and again, Rick, you said you've been doing this for a long. How long have you been a medical practitioner?
Well, I've been since 2009. I started as a caregiver.
Caregiver.
Yeah, and then about 2010 is when Iron Labs started, and I immediately hooked up with them. I have a fibromyalgia patient that I was trying to seriously help.
Yeah,
and so. And it's just amazing some of the things I've seen.
Yeah.
And there's no way, even with the testing that we have, I can even, you know, figure out why this is helping people, because there's I'm not testing for what it is that's helping them.
Yeah.
You don't even know what terpenes, what cannabinoids you're working with.
Yeah, there's cannabinoids that are doing the job that I aren't being measured.
Yeah. And other Rick, how long have you been a caregiver now? How long have you been doing that?
For 7 years now.
7 years. Yeah. So with both you guys, and I mean everyone kind of involved here, and you brought up there that prohibition on, obviously we're slowly starting to get it legal in different states. Will we see it on a national level? Will it be federally legalized? I have a feeling at some point when, we don't know. But
soon is my prediction. The banks are knocking down the door.
That's true.
It's all about
the guys are
banks in my industry, I'm sure, both with you two, we've had issues getting with the banks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't even tell you who I bank with right now.
Rick's one of those guys that
told me not to.
Rick pays his bills in cash here at the radio station. It's great.
The breeze in that cash.
Right. But that's the big problem. So when they get on board, which they are piling on, they're going to push down, like I said, that big door, and that's where it's
then
at.
How far away are we? If and maybe we're already getting there, but how far are we away from maybe actual really solid medical research in this industry?
That's got to happen. That had to happen long ago, but it's got to go now.
Because 5 years, 10 years, where we actually have some?
I'm not a medical person. We got tons of people out here doing this on this, you know, graduated high school level.
Yeah.
and I'm sorry, you know, that's just that we shouldn't be doing that kind of legwork.
Mm-hmm.
We need qualified scientists to do the interactions of the terpenes, like you said, which ones do what they do. We can isolate products specifically then. And then if you have this ailment, guess what? You're not going to get THCV that makes you all nervous and anxiety. You're going to get what you need,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be just fine. And, yeah, that's we need it.
So I mean, 5-10 years from where we actually have some really viable stuff, closer than
that? Yeah, it's going to take numbers. I'd say five.
Didn't Michigan just come out, like the Michigan governor just say that they just admitted that cannabis is helping out cancer? What was that post? I think you posted something that I saw.
Yeah, I might have. That particular post, I think, was from a little while ago. It was the U.S. government that is admittance somewhere along the line that it has benefits in cannabis killing cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know about our specific governor. I don't know what her stance is on it. But
I mean, so many cannabinoids have been found to literally inhibit or kill cancer and tumor growth.
Like,
so.
Yeah, I've seen video of it. Granted, I don't know if that video is valid, but it sure looks like something happened there that
that cell imploded.
But even there's a guy right there, too. I mean, you just, as a guy who's obviously firmly behind it, which a lot of people are, even you're like, well, I don't know if that's an actual valid video, so we can't put our...
You can't. That's a problem with a lot of caregivers out there, too. They get on board so hard, and they're so deep into it that they can't retract back and think that there might be some other things here. We got to all look at it all encompassing.
You want to jump on that or someone?
I think the real problem here is, of course, is we have a failed medical system.
Oh, well, yeah. Don't even get me started.
I know, don't get me started either. But to go right back to Chase on that is that, you know, natural cures and remedies aren't going to be investigated because there's no money in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the problem right there is that until, you know, when you go out in your garden and grow something that can save your son's life, you know, you'd want to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and Big Pharma, if they're not a part of that, it's...
They're not going to make any money doing that. It can get you addicted to that, and it's a, you know, one pill after the pill after the pill after the pill. It's an awful... Our life expectancy has gone down a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just going the wrong way here.
Yeah.
Right. The richest country in the world should be doing a little bit better than that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, no, to Rick's point, I think it really all comes down to the money and to the funding. You know, the reason... Our federal government is still financing research into electroshock therapy to help treat PTSD in veterans. No, this is literally still what our government is spending money on. So, you know, the real research, there's already medical professionals. There already are plenty of studies and research that are being done. They're not super well funded.
Yeah.
For us to see those really high profile, so-called authoritative, as in just really big name studies come out. Honestly, I think the prohibition is probably going to have to lift, which is going to be a result of the banks and also pressure from pharma that wants to come in and get in on the industry. For us to see a really, really big push in research, I see pharma having
how much the people's voice doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And also how much it's not about health.
No, right? It's about money.
Yeah.
It's about money, absolutely.
Yeah. But that being said, all of that doom and gloom, I will say.
Let's turn this frown upside down for just a second, please.
No, I mean, one of the really encouraging things to me as we're doing this research is that so many more people are aware of the medical benefits of cannabis. I mean, for fuck's sake, my mom is in this book as a source.
Oh, that's great.
It's great when grandparents and mothers and fathers take a turnabout. And I've seen it in mine and others and people that you know strong. And when they see it, it's hard to deny it. And then they question, you know, they start to question other things.
Yeah. Which I think is good. And I think maybe that sparked that conversation.
How often do you think, and just not older folks, but people before this was happening and got legs really didn't hate it? They just wanted to say they did because that was the thing to say?
That number's, I mean, you can remember back and even in the 90s and stuff, how many people you knew that partaked in some variety.
Right, but just didn't say anything.
Well, no, they wouldn't say that.
On top of that, too, I remember I was rewatching all those old Home Improvements, and they did the episode where Brad had, they found pot on Brad, but just watching that now and how, and again, not saying teenagers should smoke, I'm not saying that, but it was just so funny watching it. Like, they made it seem like Jill, like, lost herself in college because she smoked marijuana. And it was just so funny how even in the later 90s, it was still so, like,
it's the direction they took
on this family television show. It was so much different, you know? And that was not even 20 years ago now.
Right, but
at
then
this
you
point.
Got that 70s show with Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
Combating the piss out of that. And thank you, Tommy.
You know, something that I found when I was writing this book, Marjorie and I have both written stories for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people of all ages in this book, but the people who were under the age of 25 to 30 chose not to use their real name.
Yeah.
Mostly for employment purposes, or in one case, we had a young man who didn't want to use his name because he thought, well, what if my doctor reads this?
Oh, okay.
He's not going to treat me anymore. But you have the older demographic who are just like, yes, put my name in there, scream it from the rooftop.
Exactly.
So I just found it so interesting because, you know, there's been that stereotype that, all these kids want to do is smoke, get hot. But then you have this book where, you know, people mine and Marjorie's age don't really want to bring that much attention to it. They want to say, yeah, it helps me. but I still want to keep my job.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And that's still that kind of demonization that we've talked about so much here is, I mean, we know we support it, and there's a good chance more than likely our parents tried it, maybe even our grandparents at some point when, it was called jazz cigarettes.
Right. Jazz cigarettes. Jazz.
But, you know, it's that education. It's having that conversation. You know, I found myself, my mom just got back from the hospital with a bout of pancreatitis, and so we've been using RSO and my topical full spectrum and full spectrum CBD pills instead of Tylenol for inflammation.
Yeah.
Awesome, right? Awesome. But we're standing out on the front porch, right? She's got her CBD and her RSO, which is, you know, getting her off the opiates, getting her, you know, off all the oxy, all that bad stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm outside and I'm smoking a Blue Dream joint and we're just talking about it, and she's like, "All right, so, you know, what does that do for you?" And I'm telling her, you know, and I'm like, well, it's, you know, it's an upper, it's creative. Usually I was about to go right. So usually
very
I like to do this when I'm going to go right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she's just like, okay, interesting. And we're just having this conversation about medical benefits.
Yeah.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I say. But and it's so funny is that there's no different than you have, you know, you think about the old writers, Hemingway and all these guys that they were glorified for their drinking. And all that, you know what I mean? But it is. But then something that you're using however you're using it, it's something that is in your body. It affects the body certain ways. But one is okay, one's not okay. Now one's doing this, one can't do that.
It's just so amazing how a stigma can stick for so long around something that obviously everybody knows is benefiting, you know, people. Comparing marijuana to alcohol, it's pretty night and day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Pretty night
and
day. What's his face? Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
People love that he did cocaine. It's like, Jesus Christ.
You know?
Oh, he's such a great writer on cocaine. You can tell the differences when it's like, oh my God.
Name me a famous writer who wasn't on opium, laudanum, or some variant.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But I just think it's interesting that here's this thing that we've discussed now, and we're continuing to discuss on such a different plane outside of just getting high, like you mentioned. Like, you know, the kids just want to get high, or adults just want to get, millennials just want. It's not that. It's I think that's something more. Granted, that is a part of it. And I'm sure all of you can attest to. Some days you get that nice high and you're fantastic. That's great. Last time I did it, I didn't feel good. That's why I don't do it. But I support the research on it. I support people who want to use it and that education behind it, including this book that we're writing.
Anything to do with that big joint thing?
No, I shouldn't say that. The last time I did, I smoked on 420, smoked a little bit of that, and we watched some TV upstairs, and I fell asleep. I slept for like 12 hours, buddy. I was out. It was great. It was perfect. I was talking more in California when that guy made me do that huge bong rip, and I thought I was going to the moon. I don't like to bring that one up because it was terrifying. But again, that's all, again, young me, uneducated me, and what people need to get around in hearing stories, hearing different stories, different takes on it.
The great thing about these stories is that they're the stories that everybody can identify with.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to read these stories and they're going to know a brother, an uncle that's gone through this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what's so great about it.
Yeah.
And so once you can start identifying to and hear these people go through the whole story and tell their story and what they've been through, then, you know, it makes it more likely that you can suggest it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And if they try it and then it works for them, that's really how, you know, we hope this is going to grow, through just people learning through grassroots.
I think that's a really good point you brought up there is if someone does have questions or maybe doesn't know, is on the fence. And all of you kind of brought up, we've all been affected by it, and someone that could have used probably medical marijuana as a treatment, as some form, whatever, medical cannabis in some form, but maybe they just didn't know about it, or with the demonization like we've always talked about, and hearing real stories, not done in a comical way, or I guess it's a serious way to look at how things are broken down, and real stories from real people that could help out. Maybe.
Well,
if
what
was.
Saddens me and what I appreciate so much about the movement that we've had is the millions that have literally died because of the lack of the ability to use this. So that encompasses a lot of people close to us. And that's done, you know. But we're moving forward, so maybe that can not be anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Totally.
200 people are dying a day from opioids. And the facts,
A day. Holy shit!
And if you do the research, you'll see that all the states that have legalized medical marijuana, the opiate rate has dropped about 20%. So just in that sense, if every state legalized marijuana, we'd be saving more lives than what we're saving doing anything else with this vape epidemic that, or, you know, shutting everybody down and putting them out of business because three people have died.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on. I mean, that's the real epidemic.
Yeah.
And we can stop it with medical marijuana. We can make a big dent in it. People mm-hmm. just start looking at natural cures and learn to eat well.
And beyond just the physiology, you know, a couple of the stories that I'm so happy ended up being able to be included are on PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, and digging into mental health and digging into how cannabis can work with mental health. I mean, I've got two veterans in there. One of them is a cancer survivor and the other one works with Clown Vets, which is actually an organization started by Patch Adams, which is amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. But, you know, just hearing their stories and hearing helping them explain what PTSD actually is and the ins and outs of what cannabis does to help mitigate that it's been really eye-opening to me. And, you know, it just strikes me as incredibly powerful. This is a tool that certainly everyone in the VA should have, but PTSD extends far outside of the veteran community.
Right. No, our police officers, same thing.
First responders.
Oh my gosh.
They see some shit.
Yeah.
And they need another way other than popping a pill before they go fight a fire.
And I think it's something that employers need to seriously look at. You know, PTSD and managing PTSD with cannabis is a big fucking deal. And I think that, you know, employers being able to potentially, you know, have the freedom to fire people because they're choosing to, you know, treat themselves naturally, I can't imagine that's going to last very long.
Well, and that's it's two thoughts on that. Well, one, we just had the guy, Travis, who's walking around Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know 22 veterans commit suicide every single day.
Yes.
I had no idea the number was
epidemic.
It's crazy.
They don't put that shit in the news. They won't lay it on the news at all.
No.
Mike Tuffelmeyer is one of the my sources. One of our chapters in our book, and he discusses that.
Yeah, and that's going into, and the other point you brought in is that, you know, even if they do want to try this treatment, if they're worried about, it's already tough enough for a lot of vets to get back into their normal life of what we consider normal life after what they've gone through. But then if they're worried too, well, I can't use this treatment, which I think would work for me because I might get fired from the job that was hard for me to get in the first place. It opens up that whole can of worms that definitely needs to be closely looked at.
The VA's not going to give it to them.
No, they're not.
They're working on it in California right now, but
it's a good start.
It's in talks, and it is in the uppers.
Yeah.
It's got to happen because, again, you got veterans with real like testimonials that are saving their lives.
Yeah,
and you can't deny it. Mm-hmm. At the point when it happens, it's undeniable.
Yeah,
you know. So
the dog would give him a joint.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
and before we get to your festival, maybe just wrap that book up and where we can get it and when it's coming out
where we're going to be with that. So
The last story in the book is one I love the best because it's the shortest. It's real short, but I can identify with the most with my getting up in age a little bit. And it's just a real short story about how an elderly couple uses cannabis, which never would before in their whole entire life, to end their life with having some happiness.
Yeah.
You know? It's really cool.
Hello.
So, you know, we're going to be at the Harvest Fest. That's the 19th, is it? The 19th. And that's when we hopefully will have our first books printed and ready to go.
Well, that is awesome, guys.
So people come out and visit us.
Do we have a title for the book yet?
We do. It's called Cannabis 101, Drug, Medicine, or Miracle.
I like it. Very nice. It's a perfect title. It's a perfect title for it. I'm so excited for you guys. This is, I know, a big project, a big undertaking. And I'm glad that you're using your time, your valuable time, to put together something that will be beneficial for so many people. I think at this point, we don't even really know because we're still in these beginning stages. But I know it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of naysayers probably out there that are.
But you got to spread the word. You got to spread the information on every different level you can. Radio, books, just talking to your buddies, just being open about it.
Wind up with testimonials throughout the book.
15 stories.
Yeah. 15?
15 to 20, somewhere in there.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. And if this sparks more people, someone may read this and say, I want to share my story. And then if you guys get another book, I know, look at me. I'm your third chapter, your fourth volume. I like that.
It's definitely going to be the first part in an anthology series.
That's great. I'm glad that you guys have that attitude for it, because
some better stories ready to write already.
Perfect. Yeah. So now as this goes and people read it and they want to share their stories, and then the next volume gets thicker. It's like those Harry Potter books. They just get thicker and thicker. You're like, God, that's a lot to read, but it's all great stories. That's good.
It's funny too. One quick one. Again, so we're talking about writing, and we're talking about radio, and we're talking about advertisement, and these are all things now tied to cannabis and hemp, and these two things are all encompassing all our industries. Mm-hmm. So bringing back the ability for people that want to read books and want to read literature, you guys that can write, and I can't write, have that outlet where versus it fading off into the digital world and stuff like that. So that's awesome.
That's great. Well, thank you guys so much. As always, I don't know how you can smoke and then write. I would Marjorie, that sounds impossible.
That blue dream she's talking about, it's literally pops ideas in your head.
Really?
It does. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I may or may not have written a trilogy outline the other day just from my two
Look
joints.
At that. Maybe we should do the show on it one time.
It's all about finding the right strain.
Just give me a call.
You
gotta
come up with some things if you puff a blue dream joint.
How about this? When you're finished with the book, you just smoke the book.
Each page is a rolling paper.
Well, Danielle Steele has vanilla scented text and pages, so we could go a different direction.
Right, I like it.
This is perfect. You know what, Hunter?
That's perfect. I tell you, I'm smart.
That's good.
Either that or just have a joint on the last page.
Right.
Pull
that back.
No, you pop out this little, and there's a little bowl at the end of it, and then the top, boom, there's a little hose, and you can just smoke through the book. It's a bong book.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. There you go. Right in the spine of the book, right there.
Love it.
That's it.
That's
one more thing about availability before we kind of pass things off to Rick here.
Please.
This is also going to be available on Amazon.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, sweet.
So there's probably going to be more copies online than we will actually have printed. Uh-huh. But at the Hemp and Harvest Fest, as other Rick here said, we are going to have a little booth, and we are going to have a soft launch that day. So there will be some printed versions of the book, but we will also be giving out links to a website or something where
you
can buy it.
Right now, not available online, but after or during the festival, that's kind of the, like you said, the soft launch. And then at that point online, there'll be places where people can go for it.
Yes.
Perfect. That's fantastic.
Like the only book that I wouldn't cliff note.
I'm actually going to read it.
I'll read that.
Well, okay, you've heard us talk about the Hemp and Harvest Festival. So, Rick, let's get to that. We'll wrap up with that. Another festival. Obviously, we had the 420 Festival this year, 2019. It was great, but that just kind of got the creative juices flowing and saying, there's a need for this. There's a need for us expanding on it. And then you got together with some great people and decided, let's do another thing that revolves around and I guess shines a light on a different part of the industry, and also bringing in other people on the agricultural side. So tell everyone what exactly the Hemp and Harvest Festival is coming up here in just a couple weeks.
Well, this year we're focusing on information, just very similar to what Bangor and Green Door did with the Cannabis 420 event. We had tons of information for the people that want to come out and get that information. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be able to get that information through BC Hemp Co. and various other vendors I have that are working with CBDs and working with a full business motto and LLCs. And they've moved right on in. So the CBD movement is a big thing. We're going to have lots of music throughout the day from Stanley Baker's band. He's out of Berrien Springs. It's just a local band, trying to promote some. We'll have a couple other local singers and stuff, and then we'll have a main stage where we'll have some informational things. I'm assuming Rick might have some information to provide from Grow Pros.
And Green Health Holistic also.
And Green Health Holistic also.
Yeah, it's a CBD manufacturer.
Yeah, and those guys are, you guys are more than welcome up on the stage too. We're scheduling all that out throughout the day.
Yep.
So we have a lot of that. And then the vendors too. We have few people on the cannabis side of things as well. So as people learn about hemp and the agriculture benefits, the medical benefits, the things like that, they can kind of understand cannabis too. We're not going to have smoking or any
a little
sales
different in that sense from
that,
like the 420
right,
festival.
Right.
But
it's not going to be cannabis oriented, but they will be there and they'll have that information for
wonderful
some of those naysayers that we're going to draw.
Yeah,
I got
of course.
Quite a few of them that are coming, I'm sure, only on the premise that what they're just they're grumpy, they're mad, they want to know what the hell this is, and I just pray that they turn their mind around and they have a big smile on their face when they leave. And
well, you always have a good way of getting people to sway. It usually does.
Yeah,
and
it does.
And I was blown away at the 420 festival. I don't think I saw anybody there that was. And what I saw, but it seemed like everyone was there to educate themselves, have a good time, and just almost celebrate what's going on in Michigan and it's starting to grow.
Right.
And this is just another great outlet for it that shows people different sides of everything. More education, which is the key right now.
Right.
And then
it's a family-based.
It's a family event.
Too.
Yes. Yeah.
So
we
have a huge kids area. We're gonna have two bounce houses. They're gonna have popcorn, cotton candy. Snow cones, all the festivity things there for the kids at
Perfect.
No cost, you know.
Awesome.
Just a good day, face painting, lots of little things for the kids. And then that kind of will keep them busy while, you know, Farmer Fred from Northern Indiana wants to figure out what in the world this hemp is all about. Maybe he wants to change his soybeans.
There
over,
you go. You know? I love it. So the date again is October 19th.
Correct. From 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Nice full day.
25 vendors.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where can people go to find out more?
You can check out the Hemp and Harvest Festival on Facebook. We have a page there up. And then BC Hemp Co. also has, we have meetings every Tuesday night. We had a meeting tonight.
Okay.
Meeting. Just organizing the whole thing, too. So I still actually have a couple people showing up to this one tonight that are new.
Nice.
And interested. So
very good. I'll link everything up, too. I'll make sure I put a Facebook link for the Hemp and Harvest Festival. So if anybody needs that, just check that out along with this podcast as well. And it looked like it should be a great event and another great educational one. And maybe 2020 we'll have even more to focus on. And
yeah, I hope so. I hope this is just the door open for Eau Claire. It really is like my opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if it goes really well, I feel like...
Support it.
Yeah, yeah. I really feel like Eau Claire can move forward with all kinds of things.
Yeah. So. Well, it's nice seeing communities get behind and also the great things that these festivals are doing for the communities. And if more of them can rally behind that, because that's really what it's going to take, is allowing, you know, places that people can congregate and then actually...
And BC Hemco has become such an entity now this year. We've done so well in the fields and in our greenhouses and in our marketing, and everything's flowing really well. We're working with lead director of hemp, and she will be there. Her name is Gina. I know that much. I'm sorry. Exactly. The boys at BC Hemco talk to her more than I do. I've never even met the lady. But she will be there, and she's the director of this whole hemp pilot program and the whole thing. So she's going to have some things to say about what the rest of the state is doing too with it. And
perfect.
I believe there's about 600 other hemp farmers in the state. So we should have a decent amount of data for next year's, really, you know, what was right, what was wrong. Who jumped the gun? Because there's some things, you know. I think this year with seeds, everybody was in a hurry. It came on fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think people
did.
Grabbed some seeds that maybe weren't the best, you know. So in that happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it went from 0 to 60
that
when
quick.
It came to it.
So,
yeah.
So next year, everybody will have a little bit better foothold and move forward.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and I think this is a great start right there, this coming October 19th. So, again, if you need more information, listen to this podcast, listen to previous podcasts. There you go. And also check out more. I'll have it all linked up for you. And, again, look forward to the book that will be a soft launch, and you'll be able to learn more from that gang there. And we got everything
I got one last thing.
What
I got one last thing before you wrap it
what
up.
What do you got, Hunter?
Today is National Cookie Day.
Oh, man.
So, what's your favorite, what's your favorite cookie or edible, I should say? Let's go around the table.
Infused cookie?
My favorite cookie when I'm high is chocolate chip.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like it.
But it's got to be moist. If it's dry.
I'm talking about weed cookies.
Oh, weed cookies. Never had one.
No.
Never,
oh, man.
Never had a weed cookie. Never had one.
We'll get you there.
Oh, Christ. You guys just want
to
see me.
I'd have to say mine, for me, with the edibles, you know, it started way back when people just throw the raw material in there and tastes like grass. We've gone to extracting those terpenes and waxes. So I put that into the butter, and it blends real nice, and you get the accent of the true essence of the plant. And then it's you like get stony, and you call it a day.
The Gordon Ramsay of
Oh yeah, it's a thing. That's a whole other industry. We got a CBD cook-off at the festival as well, and that infused cooking.
There you
thing
go.
Is legit. Nice. Yeah, it's going to be a thing. You're going to see chefs getting on that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Well, let's wrap it up before Hunter starts talking more about his weed cookies.
Amen.
Thanks, everyone, so much. Guys, thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for what you're doing, of course. Yeah. And again, everyone, check out more, WIRX.com, and get yourself educated, and we will talk to you next time.